Jessica, hearing the voices, felt the depth of the experience, realized what terrible inhibitions there must be against shedding tears. She focused on the words, "He gives moisture to the dead." It was a gift to the shadow world, tears. They would be sacred without a doubt. Nothing on this planet had so forcefully hammered into her the ultimate value of water. Not the water sellers, not the dried skins of the natives, not the still suits or the rules of water discipline. Here, there was a substance more precious than all others. It was life itself, and entwined all around with symbolism and ritual. Water. I touched his cheek, someone whispered. I felt the gift. So Dune, the movie, has officially come out and I am freaking out. And I thought, what better way to unleash my excitement than on this platform? I haven't watched it yet, but I'm just so excited that I might do a Dune double feature here on Bird Nerd and release another episode shortly after this one. I'm not sure, but I just could not choose what topic or what excerpt I wanted to talk about more. When I checked the e-reader to see what I had highlighted, there were more than 50 quotes. And even at that number, I knew that I was holding back because I remember so many other quotes that weren't in the list. As clunky as the writing can get sometimes, I just absolutely loved the book and the story because of how it discussed religion, politics, ecology, colonialism, all while taking us on this sci-fi adventure and immersing us into this intricate world. It's also really cool to me how it feels so grand because, like, the world building is intense and it's very detailed, but at the same time, it also feels very intimate because at the heart of it, it's a story of a young man coming of age, and it deals with the relationships of a mother and a son and a father and a son. And I just like how it was both grand and intimate. And it was also cool for me to know that, oh, this is where Star Wars got their idea for so-and-so, or what other sci-fi movie has taken inspiration from this book, because it was like a defining book for the sci-fi genre. And I remember the term that Todd used from BoJack Horseman about this thing that he was wanting to write during that first season, that space opera. And I feel like it's a good description for Dune because it does feel like a space opera minus like the singing, but in the sense that it's a tragedy and it's dramatic and it's grand, but it's set in like a sci-fi setting. But now I'm really hyping it up too much. I'm sure that like the people who have not read the book or seen the movie have no idea what I'm talking about. I warn you to proceed with caution because I don't know what the movie depicts exactly, but there may be spoilers here that have not been shown in the movie yet. I'm not sure. Or it may be a spoiler if you want to read it and you haven't. So just proceed with caution. So let me set the scene for this moment in the book. The Royal House of Atreides have been given control over Arrakis or Dune. And as soon as they get there, a series of unfortunate events happen, and the young heir, Paul Atreides, and his mother, Lady Jessica, are plunged into the desert to fend for themselves. And while they're there, they stumble across the Fremen. And during this encounter, Paul has to undergo a very difficult circumstance, which leads him to cry. And during this moment, the Fremen are shocked because they don't understand why someone would waste their water, because water is so important to them, because there's none in the desert. They have to recycle every single drop of moisture that they can find to survive. So to see someone shed tears was strange to them and foreign to them. And yeah, that's what happens more or less in this scene, without giving anything away too much. Now, this scene is one of my favorites in the book because it's the most moving way that their water religion was depicted. I felt exactly the same way as Lady Jessica did, that the value of water was hammered into my consciousness. When I was reading the book, I would be fascinated by the water practices and the Jew collectors and the water sellers and that entire aspect of it, because it was very immersive and it was really interesting. But in this scene, I was able to really empathize with the Fremen and feel what this sacred substance meant to them. The topic of religion was handled so well in the book. It showed how agendas that are more human and greedy rather than spiritual and generous affects how religion is shaped or defined. In the story, we see it used in so many different ways. It's weaponized or just exploited. And you can see it in the way that the planetologist's father had used religion to progress his goal of changing the landscape or the ecological state of Arrakis, or the way that the Bene Gesserit plant myths across different planets and cultures to protect themselves and to place themselves in power or to be seen as holy figures, when in fact there's nothing specifically like divine about them. But it's just that they have these practices that they've learned, and yeah, and then the myths that they planted makes those traits divine. And lastly, sadly, well, it's, for me, it's sad, the way that Paul uses it as well, how he leans into this Messiah image and leads them on a crusade. I forgot where I heard it, but in one of the interviews with Denis Villeneuve, the director for the movie, someone said that Paul was the culmination of other people's plans. And I thought that that was just so eloquently put, because that's exactly what he is. He's like, he's a projection of other people's purposes. And I think that the reason why he felt so at home with the Fremen and their culture and their religion is because he felt that they had been subject to the same thing, and that they were also a culmination of other people's plans. So it's beautiful how this is the moment he is accepted by the Fremen, and not only accepted, but somehow revered because of his honesty and his vulnerability and innocence, and maybe because of how foreign he is as well. I also think that it was within this religion, this culture, that Paul found himself and accepted his circumstances and decided how he would move forward. It's fascinating how some structures can be freeing. Structures like religion. I'm a spiritual person, I think, but I'm not like a real stickler for dogma or the rituals and the practices, but I understand why people would be and why they surrender to it and find solace in it, because it's easier in some ways, because you're freed from having too many decisions. You're freed from having to figure out your way of living life because, well, here's a book with like commandments in it and this is how you should live your life. You know, I understand how it can be healing or freeing, and I think that's sort of what happens with Paul too. And the bigger thing is that need for connection and community and a sense of belonging, because I feel like Paul had never felt like he had belonged anywhere, and I felt that with the Fremen he did. And while on the topic of connection, I just thought it was a beautiful way to think of crying for other people, that the tears we shed for them are gifts to them, because those tears were literally a part of us. They came from us. And generally, that to give our emotions, our sympathy to other people is a gift. So yeah, I think it's just a really pivotal moment in the book, and really, really moving one. And I'm curious about how they're going to portray it in the movie, or if it does make it to the movie, I don't know. But yeah, I hope it does, because I really do love it. But yeah, here's that scene again from Dune by Frank Herbert. Jessica, hearing the voices, felt the depth of the experience, realized what terrible inhibitions there must be against shedding tears. She focused on the words, "He gives moisture to the dead." It was a gift to the shadow world, tears. They would be sacred without a doubt. Nothing on this planet had so forcefully hammered into her the ultimate value of water. Not the water sellers, not the dried skins of the natives, not the still suits or the rules of water discipline. Here, there was a substance more precious than all others. It was life itself, and entwined all around with symbolism and ritual. Water. I touched his cheek, someone whispered. I felt the gift.